This WebmasterRadio.fm program is made possible in part by the following.
Welcome to Discount Budget Airport Motel Denver. Do you have a reservation?
Well, yes. We're here for AFCON 2010.
Okay, let me get your room. Don't worry about the airplanes flying over. You'll only hear them every 5 minutes. And one more thing. You might want to pass on that continental breakfast.
Don't let this be you. Stay in the lap of a luxury suite at our AFCON 2010 discount rate. Our room block is almost sold out. This is your last chance to stay at the Hyatt Regency Convention Center Hotel, the host hotel of AFCON 2010. Book your rooms now by going to bit.ly/cheap hotel. That's bit.ly/cheap hotel. Don't let this special rate go away and book your rooms now. Finalize your plans to be at AFCON 2010, the trade show that's free for all affiliates, June 21st through the 23rd in Denver. Still haven't registered? Then register today at affcon2010.com.
The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Mobilizing your marketing efforts. Welcome to Mobile Presence. Discover the best practices for tracking and targeting mobile marketing. Our hosts will take you inside the latest trends in mobile technology and help you make the most out of the mobile web. Learn about the latest strategies and trends in the world of mobile, web development, search, email marketing, text message marketing, and more. Leverage your mobile presence today. Now, prepare to get mobilized. Here are your hosts, Cindy Crum and Eric Chan.
All right, welcome to another week Mobile Presence. I'm Eric Chan from Mobile Slate, here with my co-host, Cindy Crum from Rank Mobile.
Hi, guys.
And this week's guest is Brian Hall from Markspace. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Eric. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
So, Brian, since this is our first time on our show, why don't you tell us a little bit about your company and what you do? And we'll go from there.
So at Markspace, the one-line version of it is that we like to play, have all of your gadgets play well together. The company name Markspace comes from a sort of geeky origin. In the days of telegraph, before they used the sounds, you know, dots and dashes, there would be a recording drum with paper. And as the person was transmitting the message, the pen would leave a mark or a space on the recording drum. And we chose that name for the company because all of our products since our founding in 1990 have had something to do with gadgets and with communications.
Great. So, you know, interestingly, lots of people, I think, over the years have complained about how they have a great new gadget that they'll get. I'm probably a victim just like Cindy, and something doesn't work. Something won't transfer, something doesn't work the way you want it, you know. So I'm assuming that your company is trying to solve that problem for lots of people out there.
Sure. We've built up over the last decade a tremendous wealth of technology and experience in the field of PIM and media synchronization. So our job has been to make it as easy as possible to get your photos, your music, your contacts, and even more recently things like call log and SMS from handheld to desktop to cloud or even from one device to another.
So maybe we should start opening the can of worms by saying, why is it so hard, and why have they made it so difficult, Brian?
Well, wait. Before we get into that, I want to know how you two met. How did this all come about?
Okay,
we have a mutual friend in common, Samsung to thank for this.
Brian?
Martin Tannerford.
Hello, Brian. I apologize. Hello? No, as soon as they asked that question, I know both you and Eric decided to jump right at the question. So if one of you just want to start at one time, That'll be awesome. Sorry about that.
I'll let Brian answer. It's fine. Okay. He already started, so.
Not a problem. Thanks.
Eric and I were fortunate to have a mutual contact in Martin Tanerfors at Samsung. We met through the Samsung Mobile Innovators Group.
And when was that?
That was just last week, so it's quite fortunate, the timing.
I kind of want to hear a little bit about that, since you guys were both there and I wasn't. Eric, or can you guys fill me in?
Well, you know, this is like one of those events held out in the woods where, you know, you sacrifice things and we just can't talk about it.
Is that why I wasn't invited? I don't like sacrifice.
No, it's a rather select group of Samsung partners that get together and listen to other people in the field. It was quite interesting. We had folks from one company had been the fellow from there had been the COO of IntelliSync and then moved to Nokia, and he gave us some feedback on VC and M&A in the mobile space. And then we had some presentations from some mobile software developers as well.
Did you present?
I did not. But it was my first time there. I signed up on the spot. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that is cool. Okay, all right. Now we can get back to real business. I was just curious about how this all happened. So you were about to tell us about the cool stuff that you do and why it's so super cool and important.
Well, I think Eric had asked, why is it hard?
Why is it hard?
Or why is it hard? Well, I mean, there's a bunch of different ways to answer that question. I guess I'll start with saying that the original opportunity for us, we have done Mac software since day one, and later on we added web and cloud. But because of those Mac roots, that was where the opportunity was, that back in the day you would get something like a Palm device or a Windows mobile device, and it would come with PC software in the box, and the poor Mac folks were left out in the cold. And, you know, the saying, you know, when you're given lemons, make lemonade, we took that as an opportunity, and the beginning of our Sync product line had its roots in providing Mac software for the devices that didn't include Mac software.
But then as things got more complicated with BlackBerry, a lot of BlackBerry users with Macs not being able to sync, the whole iCal versus Outlook calendar. I mean, it's what we're still dealing with it, and it's been probably 10 or 15 years, right?
Well, the challenge comes from making these disparate systems play well with each other when they weren't really designed to do that. And if you perhaps look at your own personal experiences and think about the devices that you may have felt were the most seamless, I would argue that they tended to be the ones where the entire experience from end to end was provided by the same source. So,
oh,
for example,
that seems like you're an Apple lover.
Did I say that? I didn't, because you could actually say that
you?
Came before Apple, that Palm with Palm Desktop provided that end-to-end experience, where they provided the desktop software as well as the PIM software on the device, as well as the means of getting the data between the two. So when you have all three of those pieces under your control, you can make sure there aren't any embarrassing glitches. And it's when you try and translate between the various methodologies that you start having interesting things happen.
I think what you're also saying is that the vertically integrated strategy can work, but everybody has decided let's all be able to play in the same sandbox. Is that correct?
I guess I'll just say yes, because it's a mix of both. It's not necessarily one is better than the other. If one were just clearly the better option, then that would be all we would see in the marketplace. And as we know, that hasn't happened. People, you know, prefer various clusterings of devices and software and whatnot, and you still need to get between them. So standards are great when everyone is using them, but as soon as you have more than one, or you have some people using one and some people using another, then you start having to solve these thorny problems of getting them to play well.
So then, but that's what you do, right?
That is what we do. Yes, we try and make it so that you just don't have to worry your little head about that stuff. You know, for example, on the media side, starting with the relationship we had with Sony, we've been doing music and photo sync to mobile devices. And from day one, we were doing things like transcoding such that you can imagine you take a picture on your shiny new $5,000, you know, mega SLR camera, but you don't necessarily need that 10 megabyte image on your, you know, 320 by 240 screen. So we would do things like know the bit depth of the screens on the handheld devices and make sure that you had the photo that you needed on the device and not 10 megabytes of data that you can't see anyway, as an example.
So are you exclusively a software solution, or do you fix hardware problems too? Because I'm ready for the day when I don't have to have multiple chargers for every single device I have.
Oh my. You know, Nikola Tesla needs to come back from the grave, because we have all this wonderful wireless data connectivity, and then at the end of the day, you still have to plug your device into a cable. It's a power cable instead of a data cable, but it's still a cable. And I'm actually sitting here right now looking at my little Palm Touchstone charger, and I'm just surprised that more folks haven't followed suit with that. It's still cable to the wall, but you just drop the device and it charges through induction. And there really needs to be more of that going on.
Yeah, I agree.
Cindy, I was going to say that, you know, yesterday I wrote on my blog about how Nokia released the bicycle charger. So basically, as you bike ride, the energy that's transferred from that gets, you know, put into basically your Nokia device, and so it, you know, and then they have a little bracket so that you can, or a holder so you can hold it while you're riding. And my whole thing was, well, all you need now is just an adapter, because the Nokia thing doesn't necessarily support all the different power plugs like mini USB, micro USB, and then the iPhone and whatnot. So if someone came up with that, then this little item that costs 15 euro that's being launched in the UK, I guess later this year, would be actually really useful for lots of people.
Yeah, but I mean, that's maybe a good stopgap solution, and probably maybe off topic for this call, but I'd rather see, instead of having to have adapters, I think we should all agree on the mini USB or something like that. But that'll never happen, because Steve Jobs doesn't want it to happen.
Then you're outing yourself as the Apple person.
You have to deal the hand you're playing.
All my Android devices and all my BlackBerry devices have either standard mini or micro USB, so they're already there.
Yeah. I've had it actually for 3 weeks, and I haven't really touched it, mostly because I've been traveling, but I was kind of a hater. I called it the iFad. But it's a little bit cooler than I expected. It's still got issues, but it's got some cool features that I think I'll use.
But three weeks sitting in the box, I mean, that could be a record. I mean, there are people that instantly, you know, pulled it out of the box to either, you know, make a video or to smash it or something like that. But 3 weeks in the box, that's...
Well, there's a couple factors. A, two of those weeks I wasn't at home, and B, I didn't actually pay for it. I think if I had paid for it, I got it for free. If I had paid for it, I would have been more keen to get get it open, get it working.
So what do you think of it in terms of its industry impact?
Industry impact. Well, we've talked about this a little bit. Eric, what did you say? You had some valuable thoughts on this one.
My take was that it's, you know, aside from the expense, right? So if we took cost aside from the device, I like it because it brings a lot of new use cases that you can put into play. Now, whether or not software developers will actually follow up and do some of them, remains to be seen. But definitely as a entertainment device and a consumption of media, I like it. But to replace a netbook or a laptop, that's really starting to push the limits of what I think it can do.
No, and I tried to write an article on it yesterday, and I gave up within 5 minutes. Possibly because I'm, you know, just used to having four screens going at once. And it's hard to go down to one. But it's also really hard to type. It's hard to change between windows. You can't do two things at once. So I think it will bring about different use cases. My thing with any of this is just that I don't really like anything that's going to create more fragmentation. And I see the fact that people have to now develop iPhone apps and now iPad apps, and that it's different, that really bugs me, and I wish they could have had more forethought, because it's not nice to tell the developers, all right, thanks for doing that one, now we have to do one just like it for a different screen size. It just seems silly, and it seems like creating more overhead for companies rather than making it a simple adoption.
Well, yeah, I ask it because, of course, I'm looking at it as, you know, is this a platform that's interesting to us as an ISV? And Apple has been, I think, a little problematic in that regard from the ISV side, that there's kind of a gold rush going on where the miners, the ISVs, I think, are not necessarily making a whole lot of money, and the people supplying the tools, i.e., you know, the App Store, is making boatloads of money, and, you know, how sustainable is that? Yeah, it's, you know, there's at the moment there's certainly an endless supply of developers for the platform, and I guess the last time I'd seen something similar was in the days of, say, Handango and Palm Gear, where as the market was getting tougher, the royalty or the amount that the store was keeping kept going up to a point where it wasn't sustainable anymore, that there wasn't any money to be made, and therefore no one bothered to participate. And Apple is nowhere near that point, but I do wonder, how far can it go if you're limited in your ability to monetize your work?
Right. Well, but Handango, they never did the advertising thing like Apple is doing with the, what is it, $1 million or something like that to advertise?
They did so. I mean, clearly they didn't have the resources of an Apple, and there is no doubt that the Apple App Store has brought applications to the masses in a fantastic way. I mean, there are people who are loading up their devices with 30, 40, 50 apps, and that just wasn't happening 5 years ago. So they absolutely, that was something game-changing. But at the same time, the prices of the content went from, you know, like DVD pricing, $20, $30, down to ringtone pricing, you know, 99 cents. And so, you know, how complex can you get with ringtone-style pricing? Even if you're selling, you know, 100,000 of something, well, if it's 100,000 at $1 a unit, then maybe that keeps one person employed, but that's not something that you build an industry on as the individual. Apple, yes, built an industry on that, but what is that leaving for the others?
Right.
Well, that's probably why there have been very few successful app developers, unless you really treat it like a business first, and that could argue that it sort of stifles some of the innovation, but at the same time, those are the ones who are making lots of money. I mean, you know, people like NG Moco are doing quite well, whereas maybe, two guys in the garage kind of company, maybe they have a lot of downloads, but they're not necessarily making a lot of money.
Right. So,
and still, the majority of the apps are free.
Yeah, and if the apps are free, it's got to be coming from somewhere else, right? So,
well, and everybody knows that advertising hasn't necessarily picked up like everybody expected with respect to substituting the revenue.
Yeah, the few cases where I've looked at that deeply, it seemed to be that if the developers charge an amount of money for the software, they get they get a lot of angry reviews over the price, and then if they put in ads, they get angry reviews over the fact that it has ads. So it's kind of like, what are they supposed to do? So
well,
I guess I've been calling that the culture of free, And if that you know, just keeps going, then if there isn't incentive to do things, I guess you're going to be left with content that just doesn't require a lot of effort or thought.
Fair enough. All right, with that, let's break for a commercial. You're listening to Mobile Presence on webmasterradio.fm. We'll be right back. All right, guys, where do you want to take the second half of the show? What do you want to talk about?
Brian, any topics you want to maybe talk about?
Oh, it depends if, you know, what... I kind of think the interesting things going on right now in the marketplace are, you know, Microsoft in mobile or Microsoft not in mobile. The kind of the shifting patterns of, you know, who is worried about whom. You know, Apple 10 years ago, it might have been Apple and worrying about Microsoft, but it's now shaping up to more of an Apple worried about Google or the reverse.
I think that's a great topic. Brian, do you have any products or new softwares that you want to promote?
Hmm?
Do you have any new stuff or products that you specifically want to promote or call out, or do you just want to continue having a chit-chat?
We can have a general conversation. I mean, we've spent, you know, we're kind of like a Switzerland of software, if you will. I mean, we look at the mobile space and we say that we serve all the different slices of the pie, the webOS, Android, Symbian, Apple, all of them. And as long as we have a product in each slice of each segment, if you will, as long as the pie itself isn't shrinking, then it's okay.
All right, then I'll ask you that question.
We don't worry so much about, you know, how's RIM doing versus Android, because if we have a product for both platforms, it you know, works itself out.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to ask you that question when we're on the air, because I think people are going to be interested to hear more about your stuff. So sure. Let me bring us back from commercial.
Mobile Presence will be back after we connect you to our sponsors.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-service solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad solutions with real conversions. Learn everything AdMedia can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com. AdMedia, strong ROI made simple.
Did you know?
99 Designs is a leading marketplace for graphic design on the internet.
Did you know?
99 Designs connects you to a community of over 35,000 designers who will compete to do the best work for you.
Did you know?
99 Designs allows you to post projects for logo design, webpage design, t-shirt design, and more.
Did you know?
99 Designs projects need an average of over 70 different design options for a price that you set.
99 Designs. When designers compete, you win.
What is this? Why is my website not ranking higher?
Well, sounds like you could use a link building report from SEOFox.com.
What's that?
You can't rank without good backlinks. And SEOFox.com's link building report lets you enter domains and compare their backlinks. It gives a detailed report that shows you why each domain ranks where it does, and it reduces the time it takes to find more links. With SEOFox.com's link building report, you can find more links, use their search marketing services to find more links, or better yet, they could even build your own backlinks.
So you think you're pretty sly with that SEOFox link building report?
Sly like a fox.
Get your link building report today at SEOFox.com. That's SEOFox.com.
CEO Coach. Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Culture and Business Channel. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Mobilizing your marketing efforts. Welcome back to Mobile Presence on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are your hosts.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to Mobile Presence on WebmasterRadio.fm. This is Cindy Krem from Rank Mobile, and I'm here with Eric Chan from Mobile Slate, and then Brian. Brian's been telling us about the software that he does, which kind of brings things together. It's he was saying in the break, he's the Switzerland of the softwares. Is that right?
Yes, I mean, we kind of joke about it that we really embrace all of the mobile platforms out there. We started out with Palm OS devices. We went on to Windows Mobile. That was kind of fun at the time because Palm was quite upset with us that we had left the fold and embraced a different platform, Windows Mobile. But then it wasn't too much after that that they came out with the Windows Mobile Trio, and then they were quite happy that we had already been doing R&D on that side. From there, we went and did Danger Hip Top, and then BlackBerry, Symbian, iPhone, and then in the last year, we've come out with versions of our products for WebOS and Android. So, as I was saying during the break, we look at the entire mobile pie, and we try to play in all the pieces of the pie. And as long as we have a relevant product and the pie itself isn't shrinking, then we're good, because, as I said, we're kind of the Switzerland of mobile software.
Awesome. So what do you think about all the stuff that's happening with Windows and Windows Mobile recently?
You know, it's been very interesting. The market, you know, if you look back maybe 18 months ago, it had almost looked like it had settled down from iPhone coming out, which itself was a tremendous, you know, rock landing in the pool, making waves, and it looked like it had settled down, and then all of a sudden you had WebOS coming out and Android coming out, and from where we sit right now, you look backwards and you say, okay, the folks that were the dominant mobile platforms of, say, 3 and 4 years ago, you know, what were they doing to react to these different moves in the mobile space, some of which were expected, some of which were maybe less expected. And in the case of Microsoft, I think they looked at what they're offering Windows Mobile, and they decided they were going to do something bold, and they have, and that still hasn't played out entirely. In fact, we did the Mac media synchronization software for their new Kin phone, but I think industry-wide, more of the focus is on their upcoming Windows Phone 7, and we're just going to have to see what happens there. But at the moment, you know, this is playing out as, I believe, their reaction to iPhone, WebOS, and perhaps to a larger degree, Android.
So, Mark, I have an interesting question, because you're in this business of being Switzerland. Would, you know, since you've been around for some time, the business that you're in, would you have ever predicted or expected that you would have had to support more platforms and more platforms instead of less?
You know, things, you know, we've been doing this, the synchronization software particularly, since 2001. So there's been kind of an ebb and flow over the years. And on the one hand, when the market focuses on a few platforms, that's nice, because it lets you focus. On the other hand, new platforms often present new opportunities. So it's kind of, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other. It did play into our work, say, on the PC side and on the cloud side, that as the new platforms were coming out, we had to, well, didn't have to, of course, but we did go and embrace the new platforms, and, you know, there only being so many hours in a day, sometimes to do one thing means to not do something else or to delay doing something else. And the time that we've spent over the last year on WebOS on Android has been fantastic. I mean, Android is really blossoming now, but that meant that the plans that we had had when those platforms were not on the horizon had to be put on hold until now.
So you brought up something interesting that I want to talk more about before we have to wrap it up, and that is the role of the cloud in bringing everything together. What exactly are you guys working on now, and how do you see that coming into things into the future? Because I see it answering almost every problem. As more and more stuff can move to the cloud, everything except for my irritation with the charging of the devices and the different things can be solved by the cloud, can't it?
So you need cloud power.
Fine.
Would that be free or what?
Sure.
No, if you look at the trends, things have been, this is something that's been going on for years, but of course it's been heading more and more towards cloud-based services. And from someone who travels a lot and uses a lot of gadgets, I think the dream of the cloud is fantastic. The reality, I'm here in the Bay Area, Silicon Valley, and you can just go maybe 10 miles out of the valley and get no data coverage on your mobiles. So
what?
I think until you're at a spot where data coverage is ubiquitous, to have a 100% cloud strategy, in the sense that you can't do what you need to do unless you have a connection, that gets frustrating. So I think for the short term, we still need to allow for that. But in the long term, if you imagine maybe 10, 20 years in the future where data truly is ubiquitous, that you can be hiking in, out in the Black Rock Desert and have your 4G connection, that's when you can go 100% cloud.
You're raining on my parade.
I guess what I've been called a cynical optimist.
I think it's not that far out. And I was saying, it sounds like I have better data coverage in Denver than you do in Silicon Valley. And I don't know how that happens.
Well, in the valley proper, sure. But you go. I live more out towards Santa Cruz. So that's not very far by miles, but it's, you pass, there's this one town at the foothill of the mountains, and basically that's like the south edge of civilization. And to go past that, there's a little highway there, and to go past that, you're now, oh, forget it, you can't go, you're crazy. That's crazy talk to go south of there. But it's only 10, 15 miles out of the valley. So if you can be in as densely populated an area as Silicon Valley in California and not have good coverage, then what hope is there for the broader expanses of the country?
Okay, but the theory is good then. So the theory is good. The cloud takes care of a lot of the problems. Mm-hmm. It's just perhaps it's the expansiveness of the United States that's a problem. What if
it is. That manifests in so many different ways. You look at, perhaps one of the driving forces behind GSM in Europe was the fact that they are more densely packed and that you can cover an entire, entire country in Europe is often smaller than a state in the U.S. So when they say they've got nationwide coverage, that's not quite the same thing. I mean, you want to brag about nationwide coverage. Say you've got nationwide coverage in Russia or China, or another country like the U.S. that spans multiple time zones. That's something to get excited about.
Right. So they're going to beat us at this again, though, just because by virtue of being more densely populated, they'll probably have more reliance on the cloud faster because it makes more sense.
One factor that hasn't been considered in the equation, we could spend a whole nother show talking about it, is the fact that people in the U.S. feel they have a lot of entitlement rights to say what looks attractive or what should and shouldn't be in my neighborhood where I pay taxes. And so, some of those examples are building out actually more cell towers. And, mm-hmm. People complain about radiation or they look ugly or, just we don't need that much technology or infrastructure in our neighborhood because the whole point is that we want it to be natural and look pretty. And so that's I think part of the argument where we can't necessarily get coverage everywhere where we want to be, whereas in places like China and Russia, I think the government just says, well, you want coverage, you want to live here, so we're going to build all this stuff for you even if it looks ugly and you don't like it.
Could be. Sounds very, like, it could make for a very politically heated show. All right. Well, I think let's stay on the safe side and let's wrap this show up and maybe save that one for a different show. So, Brian, I want before we close out, I want you to give all your contact information in case anyone has any questions about your software or wants to follow up with you. So, full name, company name, and if you're willing to give it out to our listeners, email address, things like that.
Sure. So I'm Brian Hall. I'm the founder and CEO of Markspace, which isn't anyone's name, but as we discussed earlier, kind of a geeky reference to telecom. I can be found on LinkedIn. That's probably the best place for folks to reach out if they have a question. You can send me an email. And our website is www.markspace.com, M-A-R-K-S-P-A-C-E. Our products are Missing Sync, our desktop synchronization product, GoGadget, which is our media synchronization product, and we have a product line called Flick, where we brought old-school palm-style beaming of contacts, pictures, documents, photos, and files to iPhone, Mac, PC, and Android coming soon.
Coming soon on Android, but not yet?
Not yet, yes. The current iPhone product uses a technology called Bonjour for discovery, and we're doing some work there to bring up our protocols and software that uses that technology on Android, which does not currently provide Bonjour.
Gotcha. All right. Well, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
I loved it. This is fun.
And we'll definitely have you back, perhaps for a more politically heated discussion later. But that's it for today, you guys. Thanks for listening to Mobile Presence on webmasterradio.fm. You can hear us every Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern. I'll see you next week.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.